vision to Harry's Nuevo Mexico bar. He found the place empty at this time of the day and climbed onto a stool. Harry said, "Hi, Lieutenant. Thought you were due for patrol. How come you're back so soon?" Don said coldly, "You're prying into security subjects, Harry."
"Well, gee, no, Lieutenant. You know me. I know all the boys. I was just making conversation."
"Look, how about some more credit, Harry? I don't have any pay coming up for a week."
"Why, sure. I got a boy on the light cruiser, New Taos. Any spaceman's credit is good with me. What'll it be?"
"Tequila." Tequila was the only concession the Nuevo Mexico bar made to its name. Otherwise, it looked like every other bar has looked in every land and in every era. Harry poured, put out lemon and salt. Harry said, "You hear the news this morning?"
"No, I just got in." "Colin Casey died."
Harry shook his head.
"Only man in the system that held the Galactic Medal of Honor. Presidential proclamation. Everybody in the system is to hold 5 minutes of silence for him at 2 o'clock, Seoul time. You know how many times that medal's been awarded, Lieutenant?"
Before waiting for an answer, Harry added,
"Just 36 times.
Don added dryly,
28 of them posthumously.
"Yeah."
Harry, leaning on the bar before his sole customer, added in wonder,
"But imagine, the Galactic Medal of Honor, the bearer of which can do no wrong. Imagine, you come to some town, walk into the biggest jewelry store, pick up a diamond bracelet and walk out. And what happens?"
Don growled. "The jewelry store owner would be over-reimbursed by popular subscription, and probably the mayor of the town would write you a letter thanking you for honoring his fair city by deigning to notice one of the products of its shops, just like that."
"Yeah."
Harry shook his head in continued awe.
"And imagine, if you shoot somebody you don't like, you wouldn't spend even a single night in the nick."
Don said, "If you held the Medal of Honor, you wouldn't have to shoot anybody. Look, Harry, mind if I use the phone?"
"Go right ahead, Lieutenant."
Diane Fuller was obviously in the process of packing when the screen summoned her. She looked into his face and said, surprised,
"Why, Don, I thought you were on patrol."
"Yes, I was. However, something came up." She looked at him, a slight frown on her broad, fine forehead.
"Again?"
He said impatiently, "Look, I called you to ask for a date. You're leaving for Callisto tomorrow. It's our last chance to be together. There's something in particular I wanted to ask you, Di." She said, a touch irritated,
"I'm packing, Don. I simply don't have time to see you again. I thought we said our goodbyes 5 days ago."
"This is important, Di." She tossed the two sweaters she was holding into a chair, or something, off screen, and faced him, her hands on her hips.
"No, it isn't, Don. Not to me, at least. We've been all over this. Why keep torturing yourself? You're not ready for marriage, Don. I don't want to hurt you, but you simply aren't. Look me up, Don, in a few years."
"Di, just a couple hours this afternoon." Diane looked him full in the face and said,
"Colin Casey finally died of his wounds this morning. The president has asked for 5 minutes of silence at 2 o'clock. Don, I plan to spend that time here, alone in my apartment, possibly crying a few tears for a man who died for me and the rest of the human species under such extreme conditions of gallantry that he was awarded the highest honor of which man has ever conceived. I wouldn't want to spend that 5 minutes while on a date with another member of my race's armed forces who had deserted his post of duty."
Don Mathers turned after the screen had gone blank and walked stiffly to a booth. He sank onto a chair and called flatly to Harry.
"Another tequila. A doubled tequila. And don't bother with that lemon and salt routine."
An hour or so later, a voice said,
"You sub-lieutenant Donald Mathers?"
Don looked up and snarled, "So what? Go away." There were two of them, twins, or could have been, empty of expression, heavy of build, the kind of men fated to be ordered around at the pleasure of those with money or brains, none of which they had or would ever have. The one who had spoken said,
"The boss wants to see you."
"Who the hell is the boss?"
"Maybe he'll tell you when he sees you,"
the other said, patiently and reasonably.
"Well, go tell the boss. He can go to the second of the two had been standing silently, his hands in his great coat pockets.
Now he brought his left hand out and placed a bill before Don Mathers.
"The boss said to give you this."